No worries.
Am I not on?
Okay. All right. Father God, I've done what I can. I've thrown that seed. I can water it. I can pull some weeds. I can do the little things I can to cultivate it. But ultimately, Lord, if it's going to grow, it's going to grow because you made it grow. Lord, I don't claim to understand how it works, but you do know how it works. And the only way those seeds are going to grow is if you make it grow, and I'm going to trust you to do it. And when it doesn't happen, I'm going to trust that's in your will too. Thank you, Lord. Today we're going to be looking at the parable of the growing seed, and that's found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. It's the only gospel account of this parable. And it's about a faithfulness to share the gospel, to share the word with those we come in contact with. We cast that seed where we're going. We trust God to do with it what he will, and we respond to the growth. I've tossed back and forth whether or not I was going to share a name with this sermon. I think I'm going to. I don't know if anybody can see this picture from all the way up here, but it's planting seeds for dummies. Why do I say that? Because the passage we're going to look at says that the one who plants doesn't know how it grows, but he trusts the Lord to bring the growth. It's not implying that it's easy or that there's not work involved, but that there's a mystery to it. I wonder, do you remember the first time you saw something grow? Maybe the first time you're, you know, a little kid and you've been encouraged to plant a seed and mom or dad says, now wait for it to grow. And 5 minutes later you say, but nothing's happened. And tomorrow, again, nothing's happening. I don't understand. Put a seed in the ground and it grows. I don't get it. But finally that seed breaks free and you see that little piece of plant poking out of the soil and you get super excited. You're like, it worked. Growth. That's an amazing thing to see. It's an amazing thing to see in the physical world when we plant corn, for instance, and we see that corn grow and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until it gets big enough to harvest. Why do we get excited about the harvest? Because we get to eat. Yeah, eating's always good. I remember when I was a youngster, I was in school, and they wanted to illustrate to us how plant development works and how it receives water, and they said, we're going to water this plant with red food coloring, water that's been dyed with red food coloring. And I saw that green plant turn red, and I just was amazed. So the growth concept is, it's a mystery, and it's also amazing. And that's what we're talking about this morning. To recap, last week, Eric shared with us our theme verse for the year, which is Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, but we're going to focus on verse 8. Jesus says, I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. I know you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. So we're going to be talking about the open door specifically of evangelism today, or the open door of casting seeds, as we'll find in the passage here in a moment. As a church, we've spent the last several years focusing on the various core values that we have: relationship, grace, discipleship. And now this year, for a time, we're going to be looking at the fourth core value of service. Now with service, there's two different aspects we're going to look at. There's a service to God and a service to people. Sounds an awful lot like the two greatest commandments, doesn't it? Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Of course, oftentimes these two are intertwined, as we see in sharing our faith It's an act of love to God and an act of love to people. If you're able, would you please stand as I read the word today? If you've got your Bible in your hand, then let me just remind you what a precious gift it is, a precious gift that we have been given. May we never stop thanking the Lord for what He has given us. And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts up and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." You guys can have a seat. Why do I tend to ask you to stand when I read? It's because I want us to physically give a demonstration of the respect we have for God's word. Everything in it is given. It's true. You can trust every single word in it. It is a blessing and a precious gift. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this call that we have today to spread seed, to plant seeds that others may know the truth and come to saving faith in you. I pray, Lord, the words I speak today are not my own, but they come from your word, they come from your spirit, and they speak to us and move us in powerful ways. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at, I guess I'm going to take this hat off. There we go. As we're looking at this passage today, I feel like the call that I hear from the Lord is that we are to plant seeds, trust God, and respond to growth. Fleshing that out a little bit, it would be planting seeds for the kingdom is the call of every believer, trusting God with the results, and then responding to growth. And first, we'll look at planting seeds for the kingdom. Verse 26 says again, "And he said, 'The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seeds on the ground.'" Now, when we read the word seed, that is a word that means the word or the gospel. And it says the ground, that's a reference to the soil, obviously, but the souls of man. And how do I know this? I know this because of the context of the other parables around it. The parable of the growing seed is a continuation of the parable of the four soils. Remember, in verse 13, Jesus is explaining the parable of the four soils. He's given that parable. His disciples and the others that were with them said, they're scratching their heads, said, "We don't understand this." And so he explains it. And he says, "Then how then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word." So we're told that an understanding of these parables is, it starts with an understanding of the first one that he gives, and he gives the explanation. He says there's four different soils. There's the path where the birds come and take it away. The enemy takes the truth away. There's the rocky ground where it quickly roots, but then when adversity comes, the sun scorches it, it has no root to sustain itself and it goes away. Then there's the ground that's sown among the thorns, and they're choked up with the cares and desires of the world, and that which appeared to be faith is choked away. But then he talks about the fourth kind of soil, the good soil. In verse 20, he says, "But those that were sown on the ground, the good soil, are those who hear the word and accept it. It bears fruit, 30-fold, 60-fold, and some 100." That's what the parable of the growing seed is a picture of. So when we see this, we don't want to misunderstand it. We don't want to say, "I plant seeds and God promises to bring growth." That's not what this parable is saying. This parable is saying, when you plant seeds and that seed falls on good soil and then you see growth, it's because God brought that growth. So the theme that we see in the surrounding parables here is a theme of the kingdom of God. So I thought, okay, might want to explain what the kingdom of God is, because we see it all over the New Testament especially. In a broad sense, the kingdom of God is God's reign. his right to have authority, his direction and influence over all creation. We're told in Scripture that he does have this authority. It says that the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. All authority that exists is established by God. We're told that in Romans 13. So in one sense, the kingdom of God affects everything. But we don't see that. Because the people of the earth, many of them, are not of the kingdom. They've not surrendered their heart to his lordship. But that, more narrowly, is the kingdom of God that we're talking about today. And I take a quote from gotquestions.com, because why stress myself with a definition when it's right here in front of me? It says, more narrowly, the kingdom of God is a spiritual rule over one's heart and the lives of those who willingly submit to God's authority. Those who defy God's authority and refuse to submit to him are not part of the kingdom of God. In contrast, those who acknowledge the lordship of Christ and gladly surrender to God's rule in their hearts are part of the kingdom of God. In this sense, the kingdom of God is a spiritual one. In the Gospel of John, Jesus said that his kingdom is not of this world. He preached that repentance is necessary to be a part of the kingdom of God. So that's where we start. It's an understanding that the way we are born, we're prone to our sinful nature, to live a life apart from God. Being a part of the kingdom is realizing that we're separated from God and we need to submit to his rule. And so when we're casting seeds, we have that in mind. We're trying to call the people around us to that awareness of how much they need a Savior. They need the good news. We can just preach the good news, but if they don't know the bad news, they don't understand the need for the good news. As I've looked at this passage, I can see three distinct ways this passage talks about the growth of the kingdom. First, there's the growth of the church. And you can see that if you go down a little further in the text, it talks about the parable of the mustard seed. It's a picture of the kingdom of God starting off really small and getting really big. So the kingdom of God starts small and gets bigger. Secondly, in this passage, you see the growth of the believer. When you believe and you grow in faith and you grow in your gifts of the Spirit, you grow in the fruit of the Spirit, you see the kingdom of God growing in you and in others, and we can rejoice when we see that growth. But thirdly, there's the growth of the unbeliever. The unbeliever going from total opposition of the gospel to a decision for faith to follow Jesus. And it is this third type of growth that the passage is rooted in, or that the sermon will be rooted in this morning. There are a lot of ways to plant seeds. There are times to be intentional. When you and I consider the things that fill our week, do we make time to plant seeds as we're encouraged to do so in this text? Are there times that I am intentionally saying, I want to share my faith and I want to find a time and a place to do that? So there are some examples of that. You could know a friend, a neighbor, a family member, and God lays them on your heart. He says, go have coffee with them. You know, take somebody out to eat, go play a game, find ways to interact with them. So it's being intentional and prioritizing that as a part of your time. My circle church tried to have a cookout for my neighbors. I thought, I really want to be able to connect with my neighbors, get to know them. I live in a neighborhood where that's, you know, everybody's kind of closed door, suspicious of people they don't know. It was a try. It was a start. The weather kind of got in the way. We ended up moving it to the church. So in a way, that could seem disappointing, but there's an intentionality there. Even when it doesn't work, it's, are you willing to make sacrifices in your schedule? Another example of this I see in our midst would be the McKee Circle and their circle at the square. They're being intentional. They're carving out time and saying, we want to share Jesus, the love of Jesus, with folks who desperately need him. And they're meeting a physical need. They're feeding their bellies, because I don't think somebody that is hungry and devoid of basic needs is in a place to hear that they're hungry spiritually. And so that is a very practical way where it's being intentional. And there's lots of ways to do this. There are lots of ways to do this. When you are in your workplace and you find that you share an interest or a hobby with those you work with, encouraging them to spend time with you in that activity gives you an opportunity to speak with them. Then there's, and I think in many ways this is the bigger one. This is the one that we don't want to miss this. There's asking the Lord to give us eyes for the open doors that are a part of our everyday life. See, we can say, okay, God's called me to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's true. That's the Great Commission. We've all been called to do that. As I was reminded recently, that go into all the world, more correctly, is translated as you go. So we might think, okay, that sounds like I've got to leave my family, leave my way of life. I have to go and be a missionary. God calls some people to do that. But most of us? No. Most of us, it's our mission field is right out our front door, our neighbors. It's our workplace. It's the grocery store. It's where I get my hair cut. It's whatever. So are you willing to ask the Lord to give you eyes to see the open doors that are part of everyday life? Some examples that I thought of this in my own experience, in my own life. I like to take one or maybe two kids with me when I go on an errand. I get weird looks when I take the whole family and they say, are all these yours? And I say, well, actually, I left the other half at home. yeah, I have fun with that. But but seriously, taking one or two kids with me, it lets me spend some one-on-one time with them. And it's amazing how much that gives them an opportunity to ask questions and engage. And I just can't believe how many times they'll ask a super spiritual question, like in the grocery store, in the checkout line. Dad, what is this? Why does this happen? You know, why did God let this happen? And brothers and sisters, that's not by accident. That is my kids wanting to know, and as a father, I want to respond and give them good answers, but God has just opened a door. So I'm not obnoxious and scream the answer, but I'm also not whispering it. I'm saying, let me tell you why God is good. Let me tell you why he would do that, or this, you know, whatever the situation is, I'm taking advantage of an opportunity to be a witness in that situation, because my child has actually been the one that has effectively walked through that door for me. And God's saying, are you going to follow them? Let's see here. In Peter, we're told to give a reason for the joy that we have, the hope that we have. Your coworkers, the way you live your life is a testimony. They're saying, why don't you do the things that everybody else does? Why don't you participate in the dirty jokes? Why don't you swear? Why don't you this, that, or the other thing? It says something about who you are. Just the way you live your life is actually casting seeds. Your reputation as a believer makes you credible for others when they're going through hardships. The life you live actually says, you can come to me with the big stuff. I've had lots of people say, will you pray for me? And they're people that aren't believers that don't pray. But somehow when they're going through hard times, suddenly they're interested in prayer. It's even that act of prayer is a casting of seed, because there's a shred of something. They're saying that there's got to be something, and I'm longing to know what it is. And so that's an opportunity for me to talk to them. It's like, okay, as an unbeliever, God's not hearing you. But as a believer, he'll hear your prayer. And so it's an invitation to them. You want to come to the living God who loves you, and you're saying, I think he can do something. Well, then let's come. Let's talk to him. You can also see your inconveniences as open doors. Now, this one's hard. I was talking to My car broke down once, and I was frustrated because obviously when your car breaks down, you wanted to go somewhere, and now you're late. So it's frustrating. And I'm annoyed, and I'm out trying to figure it out. I think maybe I had a flat tire or something. And some guy comes up, and he says, "Hey, do you need some help?" And I'm like, "Sure." And he says, "I think I know you." I said, "Okay." He goes, "Well, I don't take this the wrong way, but it's the way you're gimp, the way you walk. I think that's what reminded me that I know you." And I was like, "Yeah, I know. I get that a lot." But it was just somebody I used to work with. And just in talking with him, I was able to encourage him. He says, "Yeah, I know I need to be going to church." I said, "Well, where do you live? You can come to church where I go." He goes, "Oh, I forget where he said he lived, but it was like 45 minutes away." I said, "Well, go to church where you're living." And I said, "Hey, are you reading your Bible?" He goes, "No, but I really should start. Where should I start?" And when he asked the question, I just felt like, okay, hey, start in the Gospel of John. That's a great place to start. So God took that inconvenience, that annoyance, that why are you letting my car break down? And God's saying, because I've got a reason. There's a purpose. There's a field there that you needed to throw some seed. And it's honestly, I'm not saying I'm perfect with this, but I try really hard. If I'm inconvenienced, if I'm annoyed at a situation, it's like, okay, am I going to lose my cool? Sometimes I do. A lot of times my kids can get on my nerves and I get impatient. But God's saying there's an opportunity there to plant seeds if you've got eyes to see it. So ask him for it. Same thing with being in the hospital. I've spent a lot of time in the hospital. I've been able to share with other patients, with employees of the hospital. I don't always get to see growth, folks. It's not like every time I share with somebody, they're knocking down the doors of heaven saying, "I know I need a Savior. Will you tell me what I need to do?" In fact, that can be quite discouraging. For me to stand up here and say, sharing your faith has to be a part of everyday life. And you're supposed to take advantage of all the open doors that God gives you. And I want you to cast seed everywhere you go. And you think, okay, I can do this. And then you go and do it, and you don't see results. And you think, I must have done something wrong. Or this is just not my calling. This is not what God's equipped me to do. Folks, Jesus, in the parable of the four soils, he's the one casting the seed, and he's illustrating that only 25% of the people that he speaks to, that seed's going to take root. So if Jesus, the Son of God, is only reaching 25% of the people he speaks to, I think our percentage has got to be less if it was up to us, if it was up to the effort that we're putting into it. But the encouragement is, the scriptures tell us that it's actually God that brings the growth, not us. It takes the pressure off. One other example I wanted to share, my sister, she lives in an assisted living establishment. You know, she needs others to help care for her. She's constantly having nurses and aides and this person and that person coming in, and it's just a part of her daily existence. She's got new people, new faces coming in. Yeah, her door is the open door. You know, she's not in a position to go in the traditional sense, to prioritize her time and go and do things. And God realizes that. He's actually bringing them to her. But she's seeing the open door and responding to it. The open door of everyday life. You know, there's also times when your seeds, they're falling out of your pocket and you don't even know it. Again, I'll just point back to living that holy life, and you've just made impacts that you have no idea. I had some years ago, a guy I barely knew contacted me, and he says, "Hey, I just want you to know it's because of you that I made a decision to follow Jesus." And I'm like, "What are you talking about? Did I ever share the gospel with you?" He said, "You said something to me once, and I responded very hostily. I attacked you. But later, somebody told me the same thing, and I realized it was the truth." So even when you're sharing the gospel, and it's not easy, I'm not saying this is easy. Sometimes you talk to people, and they blow up. Sometimes they get angry. They blow you off. They say, "Oh, that works for you, but I got my own thing to do. I'm not suggesting it's always easy. We don't always get to see the fruit. Then there's the missed door. This one hurts. The door that God opened that because of fear or busyness or anxiety or a feeling of inadequacy, we just don't go through it. Or maybe we notice it after the fact. You ever been there where you're like, oh, I should have said something to them. I should have spoken to that. I could have been an encouragement and I didn't do it. I just want to let you know, every time I felt like that, it's actually me bringing those hard feelings. I beat myself up. I've actually never experienced God bashing me because of it. What I hear God telling me is, okay, so you missed the open door. You heard my voice and didn't respond to it. The good news is, I'm reminding you again what my voice sounds like. So, the next time you hear my voice, respond to it. The next time you hear my voice, do it quicker. But he's not beating you up. If you feel like you're being beat up because you missed an open door, I would question whether or not that's from our Father. I think that's from the enemy. He would love to bash you down, because if he can bash you down, you're less likely to want to cast those seeds in the future. So our second point this morning as we're walking through this is that we need to trust God for the results. Kind of a little bit of spillover there, but verse 27, he says, he sleeps and rises night and day. The seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. And here, that means he perceives. He doesn't comprehend how it happens. He's a farmer. Or we think maybe he's a farmer just by the fact that he's casting seed. So he knows what he's supposed to do, but he doesn't know how it grows. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. We cast the seed, but it's God that makes it grow. We look at the natural world, just like planting seeds today. We put it in the ground, maybe we water it, we tend to it, we pull some weeds, but we can't make it happen. We can't. Farmers today, they pray that God will bring the rain, because without the rain, it's not going to grow. And that's just a picture of knowing that even the best farmer does everything they're supposed to do, and if God doesn't want that plant to grow, it's not going to grow. And the spiritual world is very similar. It's the same way. We plant the seeds, we might water them, but we have to wait and see if God brings the growth. Another verse that speaks to that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. This is Paul speaking. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but it was God that brought the growth. You know, and we can continue to reseed. You know, this passage doesn't specifically talk about reseeding, but because we don't know the soil that we're casting into, we keep casting seed. Even when we don't see growth, we keep trusting God, we keep casting that seed. Because I want you to know something. Just because you casted seed in one occasion, it was the wrong soil, doesn't mean that God can't work in their heart and change that soil. And when they receive that seed another time and another time and another time, it can take. I think I heard it takes, I've heard all sorts of statistics. Somebody said 7 times. I've also heard it takes 25 times to hear the gospel before you reach a place where you're ready to receive it. Ultimately, I don't really trust statistics. Let's look at the passage. The passage says the growth comes when God brings it, and it comes in stages. Another thing trusting God does is it keeps us grounded. When we stop trusting God to bring the growth, we try to make people grow. How many people have tried to do that? We have an unbeliever in our life, and we try really hard. Come on, you can do it. I'll grab you by the stem and pull you up if I have to. Oops, I just uprooted you. Maybe I pulled too hard. We can't make people grow. It's an unfruitful effort. That's not our job. It is not our job to make people grow. And this is a reference to saving faith, but ultimately, you know, it's also growing in the Christian walk. As an elder, as a pastor, I can encourage the flock. I can give you the tools to grow. I can pray for you. I can encourage you. I can spur you on. But no matter what I do, it's ultimately the Spirit of God that stirs growth in you. And if I'm trying to do it in my own strength, it's unfruitful. And same thing goes for sharing the gospel. We may think that we need to force the gospel on others. I think of the Crusades. That's an ugly time in history. We have to be aggressive and basically argue our point and convince our point, and you disagree with me, well, I'm not going to let you disagree with me. I am going to make sure you know you need Jesus. Turn or burn. I'm not a fan of that, honestly. Which, hear me out. It is very, very crucial that people understand the truth of the gospel. If you do not accept the Lord as your Savior, if you've not placed your faith in Him, and you die and go and see that eternal God, you will be separated from Him. You will go to hell. That is a true statement. But if all I'm doing is bashing you with hell and threatening you, you better believe me, I'm doing it again. I'm trying to make growth happen within my own strength. This is not the picture we see in this passage. We see the man casting seed, the truth of the scripture, the truth of the gospel, and trusting God to bring the growth. If we don't trust God, we tend to take credit. Hey, I shared the gospel with this guy, and he decided to follow Jesus. Oh yeah, I'm good. No. Oh my goodness, no. You will fall on your face. We feel defeat when we don't see the growth. When we don't trust God to bring the growth, then I must have done something wrong. If I had only shared the gospel better, if I've only presented it better, if I only had the right answers, if I had only done this, that, or the other thing. Well, you know what? Those attitudes suggest that it's about us, suggest that we're the one bringing the growth, but God is. So we can feel disappointed that somebody has not made a decision for salvation. We can long for them to do so. We can anguish over the fact that apart from God, they're going to suffer. And so our heart is hurting for them, but we don't get to feel guilty as if we've done something wrong. Apart from sharing a gospel that is contrary to the truth of Scripture, that would be a reason to feel guilty. And the last pitfall that I could see is when we think that we do it in our own strength, we forget that God brings the growth. It actually can put us in a place where we don't want to do it at all. Because if I've got to do it, this is too big of a job. I can't do it. I don't know how to do it. I can't do it. But when we know that God's doing it, it releases that burden. Then lastly, the scripture here, the passage, calls us to respond to growth. Verse 29, but when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Sometimes we get to harvest the seeds that we plant, but that's not the typical experience. Typically, if you harvest somebody, and by harvest I mean you're leading someone to the Savior. They're actually ready. They're ready to make a decision, and you're saying, let's look at God's word together. I'll show you how to do this. That is quite often the experience. Is you're not doing it completely devoid of other people's seeds. You're typically harvesting seeds that have been planted years ago. So my question is this. Do you know how to show someone from the scriptures how to put their faith in Jesus? Do you know how to show them how to do that? Why is that important? Well, yes, you can tell them verbally, and you can lead somebody to put their faith in Jesus apart from the scriptures. But when you do it with the scriptures, they have the authority of the scriptures to back it up. It's more firmly rooted. So if you don't feel discouraged, don't feel defeated. I encourage you, make plans even today to change that. This is a skill that every believer should have. Talk to your circle church about it. Talk to one of your elders. We would all love to show you how to do this. And there are lots of tools. There are lots of tools that can help. Here's something to remember. You don't need to have all the answers. None of us do. I can't answer every question that someone would ask about the scriptures. I'm just not that smart. And it's okay to say, I don't know. But you can be like the Apostle Andrew, who brought them to Jesus. I don't know all the answers, but I do know how to bring you to Jesus. Why do I know how to bring you to Jesus? Well, if you're sitting in here today as a believer who's put their trust in their Savior, you have repented of your sins and you've called upon the name of the Lord, as the scriptures say, and you're saved, you have what it takes. You do know how to bring somebody to the Savior. And that's why I say that planting seeds is a call of every believer. If you're under the age of 18, I want you to pay attention. I've got some kids in the room. They're talking, but they're not listening. I want you guys to hear something. Children, listen. If you put your faith in the Lord as your Savior, if you've trusted Him, you've asked Him to save you, then this applies to you too. You're supposed to plant seeds. This is not a job for just adults. And planting seeds doesn't have to be complicated. It's just speaking the truth. It's telling people your conviction, what you believe. It's loving them. It's, yes, Ezra, you can do that. When Ezra had asked the Lord to save him, that's a precious time. I was so excited about that. He plays the game Minecraft a lot. And he said, I want to go into caves and tell the gospel to zombies. So anybody that plays Minecraft will understand that. So I don't know. Maybe we have a future missionary in our midst. When we see growth, we should respond with rejoicing, thanking the Lord for what He's done, encouraging them. As you see growth, encourage them. I'm so glad to see you moving in the right direction. Here's a tool that we can use to respond to growth. It's just a tool. I'm not saying that this is the way. I'm not saying that it is the only way. The only way would be Jesus. But here's a tool. Your Circle Church leaders have studied a concept called the Five Thresholds. And it was put together by InterVarsity Press. They've done extensive research that found that many people follow a similar progression going from opposition to the gospel to a decision for faith to follow Jesus. It starts off with trust. Not that they trust the scriptures, but do they trust a believer? Is there somebody in their life that they're willing to trust? Oftentimes, they're very suspicious of Christians. They think they're awful weird for believing such crazy things. Do they have a relationship with a Christian that they trust? That's the first step. And then comes curiosity. They're not saying they want to believe anything. They just maybe want to know more. So they say, why in the world do you believe what you believe? Why do you do the things you do, or why don't you do the things that you don't do, you know? Then comes an openness to change. They're not saying, I want to change. They're not saying, I'm going to change. They're just saying, I could see the potential value for what you're talking about. Then after that is an active seeking. I don't exactly know what I want, but I know I'm not happy with the way things are right now. And so they're prime at a place where they're not quite ready to make a decision for salvation, but they're not content with where they're at. And then finally is a follower. They've actually made a decision for salvation. They say, I want to follow Jesus. Now, this is just a description of this. There are actually other tools that have a similar progression, and they've got different names for it. But we'll talk more about this later in the coming weeks. The elders will be talking about the five thresholds. Why is that important? Because that's a part of observing growth and responding to it, especially with the growth of an unbeliever coming to faith. Not everybody's ready to hear, all right, make a decision for Jesus. If they have not progressed to a point where they're ready to make the decision, it might not be helpful. So it's listening to the Holy Spirit, paying attention to the questions they're asking, paying attention to the conversation, listening to the Spirit and responding. That's a large share of it. As I was preparing for this morning's message, I was concerned of something. I did not want to make it sound like I've got this all figured out. And I hope that that's not what came across. I've got lots of examples where God has given me an opportunity to plant seeds. And I get excited about it, but it doesn't always go well. I've got negative experiences too, but I sure do get excited when I see an open door and I'm able to go through it. And I know that I've shared that with many of you. Guess what God did today? This is so cool, like an everyday experience. And I was able to talk about their struggles or, you know, share encouragement or call them to put their trust in Jesus. But I wanted to point this out. I remember a time several years ago when I was working with the CAC, and I always forget what it stands for. The Community Alternative Center. It's an alternative to jail. Oftentimes it's for folks that need treatment for drug addiction, not always, but if they weren't in there, they'd be in jail. And for a time, I was working with Robert and some others, and we would go in and share with the guys, and I know that we've got some ladies, Debbie and Kay. Like, I'm looking at Debbie and I'm like, where is her name? Debbie and Kay, and so they're continuing to minister to the ladies there at the CAC. And I remember I would prepare a lesson, and I'd put a lot of effort into it, and I would walk with these guys through it. I'd open the scriptures together. It'd feel like some stuff was clicking, but when I call, you know, I'm looking for a response, I get nothing. Or I'd go in there and talk about it, and I'd get a stone wall. And I'm thinking, why are you even here if you don't want to hear? And I'm like, well, it might have been they just didn't want to be wherever else they'd be if they weren't in the room. But it was discouraging because for as long as I can remember as a youngster, I used to think that I was going to grow up to be a missionary. And I loved the idea of sharing my faith with others. But it hasn't been my experience to see a whole lot of fruit of that. And I was getting discouraged. I'm like, why is it that I work so hard to prepare a lesson and bring it to them and I'm not seeing fruit? Why am I not seeing growth? I'm discouraged. I remember leaving one day and I heard the Lord say, you're not an evangelist. Stop trying to be one. I'm like, what are you talking about? I love your word. I love sharing my faith with others. I want to see the lost come to faith. And he says, yeah, but that should be the characteristic of believers, not just evangelists. Evangelists are uniquely equipped and anointed by God. They tend to see more fruit than other Christians, other believers. So I was actually majorly freed when I heard that. He says, you're not an evangelist. Stop trying to be one. I said, well, then what am I? He says, I've put you here to encourage and equip. And interestingly enough, when I stopped trying to be an evangelist, I started seeing more fruit. And it's, you know, I don't always get to lead somebody to the Lord. In fact, that doesn't happen a whole lot. And it can be discouraging. But that's not necessarily the point of casting the seed. We don't all get to do that. Some of us plant, some of us water, and some of us harvest. But it's God that provides the growth. That's the point of this. Are we willing to be faithful, to plant seeds, to be intentional, and to ask God to show us the everyday open doors? That's what he's calling to you this morning. And in the coming weeks, we'll continue to unpack what it means to share our faith and tools that we can use to do that. It's the joy and obligation to cast seeds for the kingdom, regardless of age, job, health, or financial situation. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us what we need. We ask, Lord, that you would give us the boldness to speak when necessary, that we could speak the gospel even in our lives, that we could be a blessing to those we come in contact with. We ask, Lord, that you would teach us to hear your Spirit and to respond to it. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to trust you to bring growth, not be discouraged when we don't see it, But know, Lord, that if it's going to come, it comes from you. Lord, I pray that you would equip each one of us to be able to respond to growth when we see it. And Lord, as we find in the scriptures, we do pray for the harvest. There are so many, Lord, that need to hear your word. There are so many that need to turn to you in faith. We pray, Lord, for a great harvest in this city. We pray, Lord, for those we know in our families, our friends, in our workplace that don't know you. Lord, would you cultivate those seeds that we're able to plant? It's for their benefit, but ultimately for your glory, we pray this. In Jesus' name, amen. So the next thing that we do is called Circle Church. And if you're visiting with us today, then I'd invite you to stay.